Sirius XM 95, The Quarantine Tapes. I'm Dan Soder. That's Big J. Okerson. Joining us on third mic, Joe DeRosa. The Lou's, Jacob, and Christine all here. Everyone's still inside.
Nothing changing.
Still living that indoor air life.
You know what I've been inside?
What?
Ass.
Ooh.
You like that?
You're going to bring heat so fast.
Dude, fucking fastball over the plate, first pitch.
Let me tell you what it's like doing a radio show with Joe DeRosa. Hold on. He's going to come at you. He's going to come at you hard.
Sit back. Hold on. Let the tracks go where the tracks go. You ain't driving this coaster.
I'll tell you, the only thing I can tell you, don't try to fight it. You're going to get bucked.
Me and DeRosa are trading days up in this cabin of going full-blown fucking Jack Torrance.
Who's going nuts today?
Joey's today. Joey's got today.
Dude, it'd be funny if Joe was just barricaded in a room and we could tell from him still doing the show that he's like, I'm like, are you in some sort of fucking utility closet?
You know what would be hilarious is Joe, he goes off on his own to do work a couple times and like on his computer. And it'd be funny if, like, when he's in the shower, I check his computer and just says, all work and no play makes Joe a dull boy over and over again.
What is this?
I got to tell Christine to play it cool.
You do the thing where you just touch the mouse, you know, and it shows you how many pages on the bottom, and it just says, like, 948 pages, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Is this what he's doing?
You talk to Joe. You talk to Joe, and you go, yeah, I wrote it once and then copy and pasted it.
Just drag it down. Yeah, I don't have time for all that.
I just wanted to freak you out. You shouldn't be going on my computer. You're a dickhead.
What's on my computer for you, fucking asshole?
God. Oh, thank God.
Jane gave me a lifesaver hug today in the kitchen. I was like, what's the matter? And I was like, I'm just feeling it today, dude. Like, I go, dude, I really sounded like we were Nam Jay. I go, I just want to get home, but I don't even know what I want to get home to. And I was dead serious. And Jay's like, come on, come here. And it like started as like a funny hug. And then like when he brought me in, I was like, oh, this is a real hug. And it like really recharged me.
Yeah, you pull away. It's just snot. It just looks like bird shit on Jay's shoulder. DeRosa is like,
sometimes you just need a hug, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Like, come on.
Sometimes I need a hug, man. Sometimes I need a big old heavy hug.
Oh, yeah.
My anxiety's all wound up. I got a weird ear issue happening now.
Well, go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I want to call it tinnitus.
You have a constant ringing in your ear?
Yes, but...
Actually, I played running water like from a stream, and he said it sounds like that in his head.
How soothing.
Yeah, you said it. Maddening, but...
You just have constant ambiance?
It's constant white noise, it sounds like.
No, dude, yeah, I got a constant fucking... I have constant jungle noises, you know?
Like, ocean waves. What it is, I think I described it well to Joe. I was like, you know when you walk into a room and the TV's on, but nothing's on the TV? Like, it's black screen because you have, like, you're on, like, you know, your video game input or whatever. But you could tell that there's electricity on. Does that make sense? You know, you could tell it's on. It's that sound, like white noise almost constantly. But I think it's, from everything I've read about it, it's mental. So hopefully these meds kick in and that'll go away. Because here's the thing, I could also like distract if I'm watching something and forget about it. I'm just not hearing it. So it's like,
Maybe you know what? I just want to say this. I'm no doctor, but I can prescribe this. Maybe another kitchen hug with old Joe DeRosa.
Maybe a kitchen hug will really bring it all.
Maybe this time you let him be the hugger.
Let him come in. Let him come in hard.
I'll hug you at first break and see if it makes you feel better.
Just let those arms wrap around you.
I'd be funny if a doctor prescribed me 12 hugs a day.
He goes, hey, you know what? He goes, you know what I need you to do? Three times a day, I need you to find a good buddy. Give him a good hug.
three more from your girlfriend.
If you want to do it, I do recommend at the beginning doing a couple neck nuzzles. I think that might be good just for how you feel.
Yeah, maybe a little nose in the neck.
Back to DeRosa sounding like he was in Vietnam quoting it. I feel like a lot of the things that are putting us on edge during the quarantine, it's like when you're hungry and you're mean, you know, when you're hangry and then you eat and then you're like, yeah, I said a lot of stuff back there that I didn't really mean. And I wonder if we're going to have like quarantine, if we're like quarantine hangry, like if everyone's just like, what the fuck, I don't know. And then you're going to get outside and you're gonna be like, hey, man, I was pretty mean to you in there and I'm sorry.
Guys, remember when I said we're all going to die in this jungle? I just need a sandwich. I'm really sorry about that.
Do you remember when I said that there's something out there and you said there's no men out there and I said it's not man? Well, I think I was just projecting.
Dude, I just saw a thing on
Hold on real quick. Do you remember when I said old men are always send young men to die? I was talking crazy.
Because I don't know what that was.
When I said I could see the whites of their eyes. I needed some cereal.
Going anywhere for a while. When you are, hey, damn, Joe, when you seem like
I know what you're talking about, Jay, the Snickers commercial.
He goes, man, when you're in a bad mood, you act a lot like that colonel from Apocalypse Now.
It's the last thing Duvall filmed, Robert Duvall, and then he's just like, he takes a bite of a Snickers and becomes Joe in a quarantine. Hey, I needed that.
I don't know if it was on Instagram or Facebook, but I saw something that's like, how many people. I think we talked about it before, like dads that are home with their kids and families are like, ugh. Or if they're having an affair or something, like you're like, holy shit. But forget all that. Just think of like a young couple who was just on the verge of breaking up. And then you just can't now for like an indefinite amount of time. Just like a real, like you're over it, but have to live in the house. That's gotta be fucking, that's gotta suck, dude.
Remember in Demolition Man, when they unfroze Sylvester Stallone and he was like, I heard every single day, I was never asleep. And they're like, you were awake that whole time? That's what quarantine is.
Yeah.
Frozen, but then you can like think and see the whole time.
And then if you get through it with somebody, you got to be a next level asshole to like break up the first day. Anyway, back with your folks.
Yeah, sun is a shining.
Oh, dude, it would be easier to dump somebody if they got bone cancer than this. Yeah. This is a fucking train wreck.
They tell you, they go, I have bone cancer. You just go, ew.
Get out of here, you weirdo. I don't want to get it.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah, that's got to be a rough one.
Somewhere in this is a couple that like was having an affair and the other person died of COVID and they just got out of it as a victim and gets to move along with their regular life.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, you're talking about the Don Cheadle scene in Boogie Nights where he's just left holding the bag of money after everyone gets shot.
I don't know, but I guess there's not a ton of young COVID death, and you're taking the chance that any amount of those are in that situation. I don't think that's happening with the over 65 too much, but I'm just saying, with the forget the sickness of it. I'm talking about just people in their 20s who just did a rash, like, let's move in together. And then we're like having phone calls like in January where it's like, I don't know how to break up with them, or I don't know how to break up with her. You know what I mean? And then like
this? Yeah, dude. That's got to be crazy hard.
It's like, fuck if I know, man. Like, yeah. Just someone you don't like every day.
Hey, how are you?
Speaking of Boogie Nights and Don Cheadle, that is exactly how I feel. Not the money holding through this whole thing. I feel exactly like when he's sitting at that table with the cowboy outfit on. Yeah. He looks so defeated. He's just like, what's the fucking point, man? Like, I've tried everything. This sucks.
No, you're talking about where he's got the Rick James braids and he takes off the wig. It's on New Year's and he slams it down and he's like, that's stupid.
Yes, yeah. I wish I could slam my hair down every day.
You take off your hair and just be like, this is all fucking dumb.
Well, you can get you a Rick James wig off the internet in a heartbeat, dude. That's no problem. the beaded braids?
No, you're overlooking
like
the
gangster. You want to wear James? So James? Good, I can get you a Rick James wig.
I can get you a Rick James wig up here. I can get it to you by this afternoon. Why did you quit?
I just wanted to quit. Stevie Wonder 84 hair.
The pain.
You want a toe? You want a toe, Joe? I'll get you a toe. I'll get you a toe. Yeah, but Joe, you're also forgetting the positivity in that scene, and that's when he meets his future wife, is where she comes over.
It's true. And Jay, I got some bad news. Evans and I have is a connection during this thing.
And now the bonfire. See, that's your, with Big J.
That's
Oakerson,
your scene with
Dan
Don Cheadle. That's your Don Cheadle.
Coming in radio, Christine sits down at the table. She goes, is the I like Frank Sinatra. Tapes. I'm Big J. Oakerson. That's Dan Soder.
Welcome our
in
guest.
The house.
First state of mind.
That's gotta be crazy,
dude. That's definitely happening somewhere.
100%.
The girlfriend, the boyfriend can't understand why she keeps encouraging him to go to the store.
He's like, go, hey, you should go for your stores again. He's like, I don't know.
I think we're full of everything. She's no, I need I need peanut butter. we could use some more cereal and milk, I guess, if you want to run to the store again real quick. And he's like, she goes, ask our roommate if he can go. I was like, no, nah, he's just doing something that's rude. Like, can you just run? Can you just run, please?
Can you go get Doritos? We just got Doritos, but we don't have salsa verde.
So, but picture walking in on that. Let's say you're a transplant, and it's impossible for you at this point, or close to impossible for you to get home, right?
Yeah.
And a risk your health in any other way. What if you come back from getting your peanut butter and you walk in and your chick is just, or, you know, vice versa, is just slobbing on some knob of your fucking roommate, and you're like, you're at least there that day, the rest of the day. He goes, well, this is, ain't this something? This is, well, I got to walk through. I have to go to the kitchen. But I mean, God, oh, I'm so angry at you two. And you're like,
a railroad style apartment. And they're in the middle room.
Excuse me, guys. I have to get to the bathroom. You slut, bitch.
By day five, he's walking through and he's like, "Oh, you guys are watching Young Frankenstein. You know that's my favorite movie.
That's
hard. You guys suck."
They're all at breakfast, and he's like, "Can you mind passing the milk, Judas?"
The best part. Joe told me he doesn't like the comedy of any of the cartoons at all. He's not like Rick and Morty or any of the Seth MacFarlane stuff at all. Me and Christine.
What do you read? Fucking sonnets?
Me and Christine watch all that shit. And the worst part about coming home and seeing like Christine ride in Joe's face is that they're both watching fucking Family Guy. I'm like, what? That's. Joe doesn't even like this.
Dude, they're watching Cleveland Show.
Yeah. This isn't even the one. Only I'm the one who thinks that show's even good.
Honestly,
in this situation, I could tell you the thing that would hurt the most if your girlfriend left you for your roommate mid-quarantine would be if you heard him make her laugh harder than you ever did.
As you come up on the room, you'd rather hear headboard chip and paint than her going, my God, you're so funny. You turn around and go back to the kitchen and get like some kind of a hammer or something. Get something to go in there with.
Okay, that's
I'm bringing a weapon. I was going to just fight this guy. Now I'm bringing a weapon.
Do you hear the dice thing? The dice thing where he goes, my girl, the dumbest thing my chick could ever do is bring a girlfriend home. And he goes, my chick's like, I'm going to go get milk and you two get to know each other. And he goes, my girl's at the door. I'm in the chick snatch.
I wonder,
Christine, as a girl, in your grouping of friends, like, you don't have to give names, obviously, but can you think of like the sleaziest, like, in house?
While you think of that, Christine, before you think of that, I do want to just put this out there for us to think about and have the thought later of the two girl roommate with the boyfriend, one boyfriend there during quarantine. Bigger chance of one of those women seeing the creepy side of that guy, where he's just kind of like, hey, what's up, Ashley? And she's like, oh no, I thought you're just James. And he's like, yeah, you want to hang out in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Christine would call me out for just making a bunch of jokes about the roommate, about fucking the roommate. He goes, well, we're gonna be here for a while. I mean, might as well, you know, just to move the species forward, right? We should probably just start having like wild threesomes with our roommate. And she's like, what? And you're like, I'm fucking around.
Christine, what was the in-house scandal that you thought of?
I had a friend in high school where it was like she was dating a guy and he would like go pee and she'd start making out with our other friend while he was in the bathroom, and then like we'd hear the door open and the boyfriend would walk out and they just like,
yeah, it's fucked up.
I think the play was like she told her boyfriend that like I was kind of seeing that guy.
It's fucked up. You are.
I mean, we were like wretched, wretched, horrible girls at that point. Like just really like, you know.
I was gonna say drug addicts. She was like just horrible people. No, that's always in
drug
me.
Drug addicts, yes, but you know.
I wish I could blame that on a substance. It is purely who I am as a person.
We were wretched, horrible. Exactly who we are inside and out.
I would say I am no different from today than I was on that day.
Jay, just know it's deep down in there. It's deep, deep down in there. And eventually you're going to move a slab of something and like an esophagus, it's going to come out with steam.
Did you feel any worse if you're the guy that knows you're not only getting cheated on, but they only waited till you went in another room?
Dude,
not even like the coast is really clear. Like a piss takes what, 30-35 seconds?
That's steal a cookie before dinner energy.
We would all hang out together all the time. Like it was so familial and we were being so bad.
We talked about this in other situations. That probably didn't that stress you out?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they would break up all the time, and then like she would send me to go talk to him, so I would go like convince him to stay with her, and then everything would be cool again. And I don't even really know why. Like I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying. Well, but we talked about me, and it happened to me, and I did it to a lot of people, putting my friends through like an awareness of something that they're almost in trouble for, without even doing it. You know what I mean? Like they've done nothing, but they're sort of like complicit. Like that's gotta stress you out. I was thinking as a girl too. Like, I mean, especially that. Like, literally, I don't think I've ever put my friend in a situation of like. He goes, "Hey, my wife's going to the bathroom, so this girl's coming to suck my dick real quick. Can you just watch the steps?"
The harder one being a girl.
Heads up,
Jay. That's the ultimate vamp. If you're just like, "Hey, if you hear the garage door open, just let me know."
And someone keep looking at the ice, they go looking up the stairs and at you getting your dick sucked, and they're going, "Hey, can you check in the bathroom, see if we have Clorox?" Oh God. And I'm at the door getting my dick sucked. I'm like, "Almost there. I'm almost there, dude. Just hang around a few more." He goes, "Hey, can you make my bed real quick? I like the way you do it."
The girlfriend goes, "Why did you just scream Minnesota 3 times really loud when I walked into the house?" By the way, I just said, I'm so fucking stupid. I just said esophagus. I meant sarcophagus.
I honestly, I'm not going to lie. I had no clue where it was. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
I just thought I was stupid.
No, I bet when you open a sarcophagus, and like the steam comes out because it's been sealed up for so long. I'm so dumb. Also, whatever Jay said his ear condition was, until today, I thought that was a term for tennis elbow. I know nothing. I know nothing at all.
It's something similar.
I thought a tendonitis. That's what I was thinking of. Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. All right,
Joe, stop it. You do know something. You know that hugs cure everything.
Everything. Yeah, it's a funny situation about this wild.
Do you think there's a stepdad
in
the
same house? I'll tell you what's a killer situation.
Well, I was going to say, do you think there's like a Brazzers situation where there's like stepmom banging like the stepson, that kind of thing?
Fucks yes.
I don't know, but I bet you.
Somewhere in the world, some stepmom's banging her fucking stepson right now.
This is why I hate not being live, because I'd like to put this out to the callers. But like, if you're literally, I bet a great situation, and I bet it's happening a lot. Forget just what's probably happening a lot is single people living in a building in New York, deciding to become fuck buddies for sure. And then also that just like in building cheating would be probably mega convenient to some degree. Depending on the building, I'd suppose.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. That quarantine lifts and everything is going to be fucking crazy.
Me and Christine are going to be checking for each other actually being outside from now on when we go home. What is this motherfucker on the phone 50 times a day? There you go. My defense, I stay right in front of the house. Christine just wanders off, starts licking fences and shit. She gets her head way up her ass when she gets outside.
You have to go outside and go, "Christine, down, down."
I walk down the street.
Pull your mask up.
Yeah, like what the fuck are you doing? Christine fears it and then goes outside and says it's not real.
Well, dude, I saw today in the news that they're saying the subways in New York are just overran, like it's just homeless people. It's just like it's like traveling shanty town.
By the way, Cuomo. Now I'm sure this was taken slightly out of context, but Cuomo said it was disgusting. But I think he meant like that it's come to this. This is disgusting. But then he also said he wants to do a massive cleaning of the subways. So he did kind of mean it's disgusting.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's like MTA workers. Like, I try to tell them to leave and get off the train, and they're just all fucking living on it.
Yeah, they're just taking, it's just fucking bum beds at this point.
Yo, what was that? What's that movie? They just turned it into a TV show on TNT. No, where it's like it's a train. Everyone lives on a train. Snowpiercer. It's like bum Snowpiercer.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like Tremors. Yeah, dude. They're coming from under the ground at it.
Dude, that's totally a COVID tremor.
Dude, that's got to be something else. If you need to.
How much?
And it's like two fucking human beings.
How much?
And then fucking 17 bums.
How much money?
That is my a horror story that for me.
Jacob,
you have a great haircut to go Bernie Getz on a fucking subway, dude.
Oh man, we've been grooming you to become a vigilante. Jacob, quick question: how much money has to be in the leather bag that you find at the front of the train for you to go without a mask from the back of a two train to the front of it? Put a price on it.
Filled with homeless, every car.
Every car, just as you imagine.
And I'll tell you, they want everything from money or to sing for you. You got to traverse that slalom.
You think comics are the only ones missing performing? There's a lot of buskers in the subways right now.
Oh, absolutely. You're going to get a bunch of fucking, you're going to get some doo-wop, maybe a break dancer with fucking no teeth.
I can't do it, man. As it is, like on a normal day, if I get on and didn't realize there was a homeless person, or if one walks into the car, I immediately hold my breath and for the whatever it takes to get to the next stop and get off.
I was picturing that it was going to be a bunch of homeless with Jacob's signature. There'd be Jacob's signature knife handle sticking out of all their chests.
But I've built up my tolerance for how long I can hold my breath because of that. If one gets on, I gotta hold my breath.
Go for the David Blaine record, dude. We could put you in a water bubble outside Lincoln Center.
What did Blaine go for, Jay?
He didn't even sort of reach his goal. I remember that being a funny. That was like a David. That was like a David Copperfield. What was his thing that was a bust?
Oh, he tried to make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
It was just there.
He didn't disappear.
There was one thing he had a bust on. I remember the biggest bust ever on TV that I did watch live ever was hilariously was Al Capone's vault. That was just great.
You watched that? You watched that on air?
I remember that live, dude. That was a hilarious TV bust, dude. It's such a funny TV. It was hours. Dude,
remember,
it was crazy.
I don't remember
amount of
that.
Hours. It was a crazy amount of hours when they opened it. It was nothing. Like literally empty. But David Blaine was supposed to be. He did break the world record.
Jesus Christ, that's insane.
Is he considered like an asshole? Because there's an actual Supernatural episode called "David Blaine is a Douchebag."
Really?
I think probably. He seems like he'd be fucking annoying. But who in that group of like the fucking bang squad that goes out there of those guys isn't annoying? Like DiCaprio.
David Blaine
would be a hang of jack offs, dude. Like guys that go for lunch at Chateau Marmont. Lunch?
Love Chateau Marmont, and you would totally go lunch there.
With a buddy. No, we wouldn't. We'd go to a fucking burger joint or something. I'm not an asshole.
I bet DiCaprio's a fun hang. I don't put him in the Blaine.
Jesus Christ. They're all the same.
Joe likes an old Italian guy, so.
No, it's not that. Joe wants to have Niçoise salad for brunch every day with a bunch of dudes.
Hey, look, DiCaprio, I don't want to do that. In DiCaprio's defense, you're acting like he can just waltz into a fucking Whataburger and get a goddamn sandwich. Like, he's DiCaprio. He's got to go to his spots. But I bet you he's a fun. I bet him and Pitt are fun guys to get tossed with. Pitt's sober now. Never mind. DiCaprio.
Damn it.
Well, yeah.
That's the new DiCaprio, but he was in the group called the Pussy Posse. That was what it was
Pussy
called.
Pussy Posse. Wasn't David Blaine, Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire was definitely in it. Please,
David
I want to.
Blaine part of that group? I thought like the David Blaine was part of that.
And then they made him disappear. We're having fun. Please bring up Blaine failing. I want to watch magicians failing.
Jay, have you talked about Rocco on this show before?
Yeah. Right, like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Like, his, one of his greatest lines ever that killed me was he lived with this really hot blonde when we were back in Philly doing comedy. And she came home like from New York and she was like super like hours and hours later, or she stayed an extra day or something. And when she got home, he's like, where were you? And she told us a story about how she met David Blaine and like spent the night at his house. And she's like, he was so sweet. He was so nice. He was so respectful. All he wanted to do was show me magic. He didn't want to fuck me or anything. He just wanted to show me magic tricks. And Rocco goes, yeah, he wanted to show me a trick called hide the birdie. That's here it is. Now it's gone. There it is. Now it's gone.
He said that you were there?
Yeah, yeah, I was there.
So funny. You were there for so many hilarious
things. This is David Blaine failing, holding his breath.
How did he fail, though? He beat the record.
That was on Oprah later, so this must have been before the Oprah show.
Damn, he looks like one of those exhibits in the body exhibit.
No one looks awesome underwater.
How do you not freak out? Once you know you're not going to do it, you just bang on it.
Pass out or something. It was. I don't know. I liked his close-up magic. He just did a special during the quarantine that was pretty garbage.
This is when I would be like, hey guys, can you get me? Relax. Do you hear the guy emceeing? Guys,
everyone
relax.
Chill out. You're just watching a man die. Settle down. There's a lot of people. This was sort of like rehearsed though anyway.
What do you say if you're grabbing his face? You go, hey buddy, what's going on? Pretty fucking stupid, huh?
With him all cheering his failure. Hey, thanks for trying. I'll go in a fucking bubble and try to hold my breath and not do it. If it'll draw a crowd like this.
How is the immediate fix to that not draining the bubble?
I am yeah.
So know, right? It's just let the water out.
By the support of everybody from New York City and from all over the world. Coming to
watch me hold my breath. He's trying to break the world record for holding his breath, and he gets Lincoln Center to be completely full with thousands and thousands of people. No one, the longest burp doesn't draw that kind of a crowd.
Yeah. Guys, most consecutive farts is going to be selling out the Met. So.
He has to do it right in his house with a camera. And I guess a Guinness person standing there.
And also, you know, the guy that set that record is pissed because he's like, oh, yeah, you get to do it with the fucking team, you asshole.
You guys held my breath one day in my house.
I did it on break at a Target in my car with a guy from Guinness sitting shoddy.
Yeah. Fats from the stock room had to clock it on his digital.
Yeah.
had a mirror under my nostrils for 15 minutes.
Yeah. I earned this shit. Fucking pretty. You're in the pussy posse.
Pussy posse, dude. Yeah. Stern used to talk about it all the time. They were like on DiCaprio's boat just crushing international ass.
McGuire in that. McGuire's a goofy. How about the fuck was Tobey Maguire in that?
I think off time he looks like when he was evil Spider-Man. Remember when he went? On him.
Yeah, but
he would go and he would like disco dance in clothing stores and buy darker clothing.
But he looked worse
and wore mascara also, I believe.
I think the guy Kevin Conway from E from Entourage was one.
Connolly, Kevin Connolly.
Kevin Connolly.
Another goofy guy. He's like he's 3'4".
He's got enough credits and recognizability that DiCaprio's spillover.
It's DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, Lucas Haas, and Kevin Connolly.
Lucas Haas?
Yeah. Another guy. He's got those fucking horse eyes on either side of his head. Horse
eyes. Lucas Haas was the poor man's Tobey Maguire. How is that guy fucking in there crushing it?
Dude, yeah, all you need is DiCaprio spillover. Will everyone zooted in pussy? It'll keep everybody zooted in puss for fucking months and months, dude, with minimal break.
You're all right, Jay. DiCaprio spillover is the dumpster behind LeBec Finn. There's some good fucking trash.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It really is. That's the good dumpster dive. That's where you're gonna out of garbage with your pinkies up. You know what I mean?
A fancy bum.
Oh, yeah, a real fancy bum.
Fancy bum of the fur coat, please.
Ooh.
telling you, DiCaprio has to shoo away a girl. I mean, he calls like super hot chicks like fat, like too fat. Damn.
Oh, Paper Mag did a Pussy Posse. Where are they now?
Yeah, and I have that.
Wasn't it? By the way, David Blaine was in it. David Blaine, Tobey Maguire, Harmony Korine.
Oh my what? Lord.
Connelly.
Crazy. Uglier dudes.
Ferguson.
Uglier dudes. Yeah,
I'm friends with Jay. Jay was in it. Jay was a pussy pot. I'm calling him immediately after this.
That was R.D. Robb.
Now Jay deserved to be in it. That is a stud. I was on a sitcom with him. That was a good man.
That's a good guy. Yeah, dude. He was in it.
Hell yeah.
Shit, I never knew that. That's all I would have asked him about on set the entire time.
Evil Spider-Man. Oh, look at those gay little shorts.
They're fun. I think they're a lot of fun.
By the way, Supernatural goes back long enough that me and Christine watched an episode yesterday, and he asked for someone's suggestion for somebody. He goes, "Do you have a less gay suggestion?"
Like, Jesus. Oh yes.
Yeah. Those were the days, weren't they?
Canceled.
Connelly, that guy right there.
Yeah, that's him when he was young. When he was on Evening Shade with Burt Reynolds. Yeah, that's him now, though. He's this strong-jawed man, dude. He's like a little Russell Crowe.
Christ. Looks like if Sloth got really good surgery. Yeah, if Sloth, that's they could put Sloth back together, too?
This is it. This is all we can do. He goes, how about Mr. Potato Head ears? Can you give me Mr. Potato Head ears?
Bringing you to the best guy in Hollywood, Sloth. And I'm telling you, this guy's going to work wonders on you. Baby Ruth? Yeah, Lucas. They're gonna start calling you Lucas again, dude.
I'll tell you this right now: you change his ears out. This guy is elite level Hollywood hot.
No, he is not. He looks like David Cross in a sketch on Mr. Show. He looks like they threw a wig on his bald head.
It looks like his upper lip comes out 4 inches further than his bottom lip.
Ooh, who's this next stud though? This next guy looks promising. Is this the kid from Road Trip?
I believe if memory serves, the Pussy Posse did not disband peacefully. Like, there was some fallout.
Affiliated women of the Pussy Posse, dude. This is going to be fantastic right here.
Elizabeth Berkley. All right, also known as Jesse Spano. Jesse, why can't I remember Jesse's last name?
Jesse Spano.
Spano from Saved by the Bell. I kept thinking Spanglish. I'm like, what am I thinking?
And the lead of Showgirls.
It looks like she was fucking your boy, Joey. Go down.
J.R. Ferguson.
Prime time. Good for you, Fergie. Holy shit. You want to ask him off air if he'll call in and talk about the Pussy Posse?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, if he'll fucking talk about being in the fantasy. He's in the X-Men of pussy.
She's fine. Scroll down.
Fiona Apple.
It seems. Oh, yeah. Shit, Christine, your computer is working usually like the share screen's usually smoother. Fiona Apple, part of the pussy.
One second, let me try something.
She dated David Blaine.
She did date him. That's true. Man, I bet she is not that fun to bang.
Fucking. I am not a fan. I like her music.
Fan. I've been listening to her new album for the last week straight.
I heard it's very good. She's extremely talented. Her music's great, but I just as a person, she's always just like, she always seems to be the person saying like she was part of the shitty behavior, but she wasn't responsible for the shitty behavior. Mm-hmm. Like in interviews, it's always like, oh, I dated this guy and he was the scene we put on in front of my family because we were so high on coke. He's an asshole. It's like, yeah, you were high. You were doing it too.
She's probably a nightmare.
I mean, she just I don't like people who are always affected.
Yeah,
seems like her thing is everything's gonna be like, I don't know these decisions like you. I don't,
oh God,
know the world something.
I saw her on the set of Bored to Death.
What, she was, Darlene?
Sarah, no, over, she was cruising for pussy too. You saw Fiona Apple on the set of what?
On the set of Bored to Death because she was dating the creator. She looked like she hadn't seen the sun in months, man. She's all just like one of the. She's a tucked in chick where she's always like this.
Yeah,
yeah. She's like a little hairless cat.
Yeah, what a drip.
She does. She has the personality of a daughter of like a world dominator. Sarah, what was she fucking? Who's fucking
Please be Leo. Please be Leo.
Whose clip was she headbutting?
I think that's just a rumor because I know that she and Jay were good friends, like as child actors. I think that's a rumor. Where it's just like she was friends with
what childhood?
So she was like
she was on the show too. She was on the same show I was on.
Yeah, she married fucking I said, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, Four Non Blondes.
Amber Benson.
Amber Benson. Oh.
She's the face of a male surfer.
Well, all right.
She looks like Jensen Ackles.
Wow, she got a lot prettier as she got older.
She really did.
Yes.
And who was she fucking in that group?
Some of them, they didn't bang anybody. Like Gilbert's was like, it was just like, no, I was like, she was just friends with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might just be like the girls that would hang around, maybe not necessarily banging.
They were fucking her.
I have a feeling I'm going to get a hard no out of Jay to come talk about. I feel like this isn't something they're all celebrating.
Hey, yo, Jay, which one of y'all fucking broke off Sarah Gilbert and sent her over to the fucking muff side?
Any of you guys get closer to Becky, or was it just Darlene?
What's Lori Metcalf pussy smell like?
Becky's the only one on Roseanne that looks like she actually grew up in that family. You know?
She looks like that house.
Sarah Gilbert looks like the blonde girl from Ozark.
Saw Ozark.
That's the kind of thing. Like she just wears pantsuits. She might have a good body under that dykey persona.
I'm telling you, man, you missed your calling as a fucking fashion designer.
Me?
Yeah.
Very possible.
You could have been if you were French, you'd be brutal.
I certainly wouldn't let Sarah Gilbert dress the way she dresses. And I dress the way I dress.
She was, when they booted my character from the sitcom, she was the first person to text me. She was very, very cool, and she was very funny. She was a real ball breaker.
Well, you keep saying generic to what sitcom?
It's called Living Biblically.
Oh.
Catch me on the episode number one, where I played the office pervert, Gary.
Hey.
CBS was really hard on the character the whole time, and we didn't understand why. They could be like, he's unlikable. And everybody kept the director. Everybody kept being like, he's supposed to be unlikable. He's a creep. That's the point. And we didn't understand why they were being so shitty about the character. And then 2 weeks before the show went into production, I was in the pilot. And then 2 weeks before the actual production started, it was supposed to be in 10 episodes. They cut the character with no explanation. It was horrible. All that money out the window. And then a month later, Les Moonves, head of CBS Comedy, who also gave me the job because he said I was hilarious, got busted for all that Me Too shit.
Oh, yeah,
and I was like, dude, oh, that's why they hated this. They were like, we can't have this on a CBS show.
You know, it's he's like a pervy CEO, and he's just really hands-on with his employees. And they're like, I don't think we can put that weird, in.
I bet it's a weird coincidence. Me and Dan's father's both named Gary, and then me and Joe have both played a pervy guy named Gary.
What?
And my scene, even though it's weird, I'm in the credits of the movie pretty early, but I'm cut out of the film, you know, Isn't It Romantic? And you got cut out of a show playing a perv named Gary. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. That is weird. You know what that means, dude? We're supposed to fuck tonight.
Oh, Christine, looks like we're seeing a matchup that we didn't see happening. The dude's pairing off.
Dude, Christine was in the post office today. Christine was in the post office today. That'd been funny if she came back and me and Joe were just fucking chugging dick, dude.
Yeah. She comes in the kitchen and does the thing where she drops the keys on the counter and she just here goes, guys, and then just hears.
You hear me go, hey, give us a second. Why are you guys in the room together?
She's got to do the thing where she's holding something and turns the corner and she goes, listen, they didn't have dye, but I, and then just drops.
Yeah. That's so funny. I love that phase of pulling the cock out.
What?
Yeah. Explain. No. We're just fucking around. We're just fucking around.
Joe's grabbing the ceiling. He's like,
this is what has been missing from my life.
That was my default.
Completes me.
My default would be like, we were fucking around. Like, no, we knew you were coming back, so we thought it'd be hilarious. Or we went too far. Okay, I get it. You went too far. Okay. But you gotta chill out.
Chill. Put down the knife. It's a hate crime. Technically, it's a hate crime. If you do this, it's a hate crime.
That's how you get out of getting caught by your girlfriend going gay with DeRosa. You just go, you stab me, it's a hate crime. I just want you to know that.
And Evans goes, doesn't matter. I'm going to kill myself right after anyway.
He goes, touche, lady.
All right. It seems you got me in a corner here.
All right. Oh, boy.
There's also nothing funnier than walking in on somebody being dramatic, but you're not in a dramatic situation, like in your mind. So, yeah. Like, you know, I remember it's always, I told that on a story before, though, but when I got caught cheating real bad when I was younger, and I went to go apologize, you know, I fixed my own shit. I went to apologize to the other chick. Because I lied to her, and we went over, and she was just like sitting there. She was young. She was sitting with a knife, like a butcher knife, yeah. Like sitting Indian style on the ground, just like keeps like tacking it into the wooden floor. And she was just going like, I was like, hey, I want to come out. I you know, I'm never gonna see you again. I'm sure, but this is like, I fucking, it was shitty everything I did. But and she was just tapping the floor, going, nothing's real. Nothing's real anymore anyway. And I was like, and it's one of those things where like, I wasn't in that mode. I wasn't like the, you know, have to fucking get this all back to, you know, on track and make my apologies and face up to it. And I'm going like, yeah, no, it's, look, this sucks. I know. I fucking really fucked up bad. It's like, it's just, am I dreaming? Am I, you're like, yeah, I mean, Do this after I leave, like right now, just, you know, you could be angry. I get yelling. I get all that. But all the, what is life? Sometimes I wonder.
You sound like that kid after the dentist office. Is this life now?
Like, no, you're going to snap back. Someone else will fuck you in a couple months.
What were you saying? Used as comedic fodder.
Yeah. And then later on, this will be a comedic fodder. It's okay.
Let's take our first break. I'm gonna make a coffee. We got a great guest coming on soon, and more stuff to talk about. It's the bonfire, quarantine tapes. It's
the bonfire. Bonfire Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95. This is the quarantine tapes. We're back. I'm Big Jay Oakerson. Dan Soder over there. Joe DeRosa over there. We got the whole crew, and now joining us on the show, the Netflix series Bumping Mics, a hilarious legend, Dave Attell, everybody.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here. You look like I like you keep the bandana always around your neck, like Def Leppard.
I go out, you know, I'm all this. Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Yes. On the subways, I'm known as the king of the E train.
Oh, dude, you're fighting those homeless people back? Have you taken over?
It's pretty, it's a wild west down there, guys.
It is.
I like you going down there and getting hand-to-hand combat and staying sharp.
It's crazy.
I think it's funny that before you walk into any store, we went to the grocery store the other day, me, Joe, and Christine, and you suit up like you're getting ready to. It looks like you're going to rob the place. You're putting on gloves and a bandana around your nose, and you walk. And if you don't do that, they're like, sir, could you please get more... Can you please get more terrifying looking before you come in here, please? We were talking before the break about relationships in this time. Yes. And people like young couples, new couples, like being together and realizing they were about to break up anyway, but they're stuck now together. That's got to be a fucking nightmare.
It's a hard time. I'm quarantining alone, but not really. I'd like to show you my quarantine friend.
Oh.
He's going to bring some Lysol. To do evil. What? No. I got it, you know, Amazon. I just figured, what the heck, you know? You know, a couple $100 later, he shows up out of China, by the way. Came all the way from China. And, you know, God bless him, you know.
Can you get a real rescue bird? Is that even a thing offered, or is it always just cats and dogs? Do they ever offer other shit? You get, like, a rescue lizard?
From China, you can get anything.
I would think that, like, you need something else to take some of the sad out of it. How about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
Mostly just looking at wet markets online, just thinking about what I can get.
They're open, ready for business.
You got to get a live octopus now before they shut the whole goddamn shit down.
I got three pickled jars of octopus egg on my way from a wet market.
Yeah,
guys, my cousin works for Cuomo. She just sent me a text. Stock up on octopus right now.
Yeah. The hammer's coming down on him. I bet. How are those shows not popular now? The show, like, don't they have, like, Zimmerman and Anthony Bourdain, like, going and eating at those places?
Well, that was a different time. I assume they must be taking some precautions there, you know, something. Maybe it doesn't have to be dead, but it has to be dazed.
they got a confused bird and they're going to eat it live on the Travel Channel.
Yeah, what, that's got to be funny for the Asian people who that's like their normal food, and they're like, sorry, no more live dog. Like, what? But my cousin's in town and I told him this was the best dog place. Sorry, man.
Of course, if you cook bat wrong, it's going to get you sick.
Can I have vampire bat? Well done, please. Don't even ask.
Because you know the place is good as they if they automatically offer it medium well.
The live mice videos are insane. Have you seen those?
I like my mice black and blue. That's the way I tell. Yeah. Black and blue. Raw. Tartar.
What are these videos, Joe?
There's like a thing in China where these guys, like, where it's a delicacy. I don't even think it's a delicacy because I imagine you got to be shithouse poor to eat it. But it's people eating live mice. Like, it's like a little mouse and it's alive, it's moving, and they pick it up and eat the fucking thing live.
For some reason it's weirder and more erotic when women do it, though. Asian women just eating live animals. It's always like, oh,
no.
You'll do anything.
Do you think there's ever a guy in China who takes it and he's like, do you guys mind if I just put it up my butt? Do you mind if I just...
Yeah, this buddy goes, that's sick.
Do you smoke?
Please, go ahead.
Dude, we're so jealous. Where are you? Are you inside? Smoking inside?
Yes, I am. This is my house. That's my printer.
Oh.
I know it doesn't hold the candle to Drake's mansion, but...
You and DJ Lou over there are two of the last people smoking inside their own house, and I appreciate it.
I want to show you something, guys. This is my Corona calendar. You see it? All the happy faces of the days I haven't done stand-up. That was the last day of stand-up.
Will you run back to the clubs, Dave, first day they're open?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to run back, but first I'm going to get my nails done, go bowling, and then I'm going to get a pin tattoo.
Hair did, Dave.
So funny, bowling alleys in Georgia, like that was one of the top things needed to be open, and I couldn't think of more of a place where you share finger droplets, sharing shoes. The staff, if you're lucky, is only addicted to meth.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if there's in Georgia, if there's like a Dave Attell of bowling who's like, let's get back. Just shows up fucking snapping and cracking them. He's just like,
the day those lanes are waxed, this guy's going to be standing there.
Maybe you, like Huck Finn, no shoes bowling.
Oh, that might be some weird grip on the lanes, though.
Real Georgia bowling.
Oh, welcome up with some Georgia bowling. A little Savannah straight.
We're so far away from the clubs opening. I mean, that's going to be the last thing that opens. I mean, I've talked to other people, and I don't want to bring anyone down, but it's going to be the last thing that opens. It's going to be like, you know, Rockefeller Center, you know, all that stuff's going to open. And then like a month after that, maybe the clubs will open. Pretty weird. Sad.
I agree. But I think the road clubs will open.
You think?
Before
they're going to open. Yeah, they're going to open before New York clubs.
Yeah, I feel like we'll have it. I feel like we'll be back in action in New York before other places just because they're smaller venues. So if there's like, you know, if they open like up to 150 capacity or whatever, there'll be places in New York that can run for theaters.
I think the clubs won't open until they can run at capacity because the value isn't really there. And I think, but I think on the road, I think those places that just like, you know, Omaha Funny Bone, like Omaha ain't afraid of this like we are, you know what I mean? Just seeing it being upstate right now, like the people here, like they're not really, doesn't seem to consume their thoughts that much.
And everyone's broke too, you know, you can't blame the crowds. Like it really is, it's a tough time all the way around. So, you know, you can fly like somewhere if you can get a flight And then, like, you perform to maybe a third of the people. So what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to send people out there who can only draw a third of the crowd.
Yeah. This is the only time in my life where my draw is actually working for me. They're like, yeah, dude, usually we send people home when you were here. Now people are excited.
I think it's going to be awesome at the merch table taking everyone's temperature. You are too hot. Get out of the line.
Yeah, before they get 6 feet to me, I need a triage nurse at my merch table.
Well, you know, I feel bad for you guys too, because the Skankfest, this was the year where it was going to hit the road, and like it was like a big step, and like this happened. So, you know, it's really I really feel bad for the fans and the comics too. It was going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's tough, but it'll happen. It'll definitely happen when this is all over.
Have you picked a new location, much like the Olympics? Are you going to like push it back and then pick a new location?
We're keeping it at the same venue, and right now it's rescheduled for September. And it was crazy though, like we had to pull the plug. We were 2 weeks out from the event when we had to pull the plug. So it's crazy, all the anxiety and frustrations that come with putting together a festival, and then to have the plug pulled on you from something having nothing to do with yourself at all. But there's something where I'm like, you know, we kind of get to fix our mistakes from the first time before we even run it. So, you know, it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise.
I think people want like entertainment, but they'll also want knowledge. That's why I'm going to throw it out there right now. I will open for Dr. Fauci. I think it's only a matter of time until he gets 86 from the health department. You know, he's telling too much truth. I want to hit the road, make some money before he writes a book.
It'd be great if he just bitched you out for fucking up his credits.
His walk-on music, anyhow.
Yeah, oh yeah. I forgot he's a theater act.
Do you think there isn't, for those arena tours of like the speaking, like Michelle Obama and stuff, do they have an opening act, you think? Like an Oprah? You think Oprah, when she goes, because they're motivational tours, like an opening act goes out?
Definitely. They have opening speakers. They had opening. I remember Malcolm X would have like an opening speaker.
That's so funny to be an opening speaker for a major person where you go, well, I open with the same thing every time, which is sit down.
Yeah. Like, Malcolm X is backstage. He's like, do me a favor. Don't do your Plymouth Rock landing on us thing, because it's my thing. So yeah.
He goes, hey, are you still calling them white devils? Because I call them white devils.
Hey, look, I'm sure this is just parallel thinking. But if you can just like, I also had a dream. And I know when you're headlining, you do your dream. This is the Martin Luther. I don't know if you saw the marquee, but it says Martin Luther King Jr. So I'm going to do the dream thing tonight. I appreciate it. Thank you for understanding. No crowd work, please.
Dave, what do you think about Zoom comedy shows?
I think they suck. I think all of this stuff is, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems it's awkward. And, you know, it's, what was I going to say? I guess you can mess with the background. That's like the fun of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, have you been asked to do, how many shows have you been asked to do on Zoom? I mean, not like,
just
like
charities, and I'm doing another charity with Jeff for the bumping mic thing with him. And I did like one or two other ones. I mean, I love seeing you guys, you know, this is the only way to do it. So, but
we don't even mean like this kind of show. I mean, they're doing Zoom stand-up shows.
No, I'd say that's a no-go for me. I'm not into that.
Yeah, it seems like a weird situation. The virtual, I've gotten
what a, is, excuse me, is virtual improv, a whole improv theme. The worst.
But I've been asked to do several of the virtual comedy club shows, and which just seems like a fucking bizarre concept to perform for that. But I've started getting I always say my favorite is the young comic asking me to do their show in Brooklyn that Dan always says yes to. And then Dan always makes the list of, it's a short pitch for they want me to do their show. So it's always now I'm getting the, you know, when this whole nonsense is over, when this craziness is all over, I'd love for you to come do the show in Brooklyn. And then the next four pages of that message is just names of other people who he's bullied into doing it. Like Greg Barnes did it. Dan Soder did it. Mark Norman did it. Joe List was here. You better than Joe List? This is how it feels. You just hear a list of everyone else who's ever done it. Like, I go, I know, dude.
No, the weirdest one so far has been people like that actually think it's going to work, where they're like, yeah, we're opening an online comedy club. It's going to work. It's the same as stand up. And you're like, do you know how stand up works? This is fucking awkward as shit.
It's only, I keep saying this, it's, and I know there are some exceptions to the rule, but like, it's the most of the people I see doing Zoom comedy shows, and also most of the people I see putting up pictures of this was my life. I used to do comedy. They're all comedians that stink, that like aren't around, that weren't around doing comedy. It's like, it's this romantic, like, oh, I remember when I was a showman. It's like, I never saw you in a club.
Yeah. Talking about? I once used to tell stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask my life coach. He's against it. I think what's going to happen is people are going to want to come out, and then they're going to be terrified, but still we'll get through that awkwardness. Might take a month, might take a year, and then we'll fully work back to where we were about 3 months ago, which is me almost out of the business. So I don't know what to tell you guys. It seems like it's going to be a rough year ahead, and it's an election year, so it's going to be a lot of political stuff happening too. So everything's happening at the same time.
And the political stuff, ironically, seems to be happening. Like, you know, the election's happening right at the time where they're like, get ready for the second wave. Yeah. Get ready for that second wave coming in, which is everything from good or bad. I was saying earlier in the show, it's like you could read any amount of articles to find out what you want to hear, like bad or good. Yeah. I keep getting the fans that are sending me things going, dude, you're in the clear, because there's several articles that go, here's why cigarette smokers don't have to worry. Oh, some things are like cigarette smokers. You're going to die the second you get it.
Yeah, you're in it. You're going to catch it the second. If you even look at COVID, you're going to get it.
It's funny because I spent a lot of time going out to my mom's house, bringing her stuff. And she has like, you know, memory issues. So she kind of knows what's going on. She doesn't really know what's going on. The person I have there in her house, you know, the aide and the nurses, one of them had to drive her around because she didn't believe us that everything was closed. Oh, she thought I was tricking her. Like a impractical joke. She's like, what do you mean? Everything's closed? And like, yeah. She's like, I don't believe you. So they had to drive her around. So we're like, everything is closed. And, you know, there's a lot of people who just don't believe it. And I know out on Long Island, it took like, you know, at least a couple of weeks for people to realize that they have to wear masks and stuff like that. I think it's good everyone's wearing the mask. I think that that's a good start. And like the cool thing about it when you do smoke is that you pull it down like you're a pipe fitter, you know, like, man, it was a tough block. And then when somebody comes, you got to put it back up like, meh. So kind of like a.
Did she say, Dave, what did she say when you were driving her around? Where she's just like,
I'm not allowed to even go in the house. I just drop off the food. I drop off the supply. Then they scrub it all down. And then, you know, but I waved her and talked to her like in prison. Like I see her where on phones. Prison talk, and then I take a leak in the backyard and get back in my car and go home. I'm kind of like, you know, an intervention where like the parents go, the best thing for you is us to like just disengage with you. Like they won't let me in the house, but they still love me. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, where they're like, I love you, Dave, but you got to help yourself before we let you back in.
Sleep in your car.
Have you hung out with anybody like at all? Like, has anybody come to your place or you go to someone's place?
No, I don't think any people are allowed in. I mean, I've seen people on the street. I met Louis Katz and Ian, like they are on bikes. So they'll bike around and like, you know, have a nice 6 feet away conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should do. We should like plan a big circle, like a big, almost like a cross burning, but without it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to use that. I'm like, this is good social distancing. Look at that.
We don't realize that the Klan had the plans the whole time to social distance properly.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a theory on it, but that would be fun to do. We all meet up in a park or something like that. Everybody's like 6 feet apart, you know?
Yeah, we've done that on our buddy Wayne's roof a couple times. Just go up there one at a time, and then everyone just kind of stand apart and hang up there for a couple hours when it's been sunny out. It's been a game changer of just like having a conversation in person. It's just nuts, man.
You have people worried about you because I'm old, so people are worried about me. They're like, you know, you smoke and you're old, you know, so you're basically dead.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I mean, actually, I'm so worried about myself that most people are like, you're going to be fine if you get the, even if you get it, you'll be fine. And I'm like,
I actually said to Jay, I'm like, you should be way more worried about other people than you are about yourself.
Yeah. But in my mind, everybody else is going to be fine.
Walk around the city, man. It's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. That's like the end of the time. Like you got to get back home. Yeah. Is it the death wish time, you know?
Yeah.
But, out on the street.
Really is, it's like sundown, everybody goes inside.
Everybody runs home. But there is like a lot of joggers here. I never knew there was so many joggers. And like, you know, at 7 o'clock, you're supposed to go out and applaud the first responders. And I do that. But it's funny when you do it on the street and these people are jogging, they won't even stop to like applaud the hospital people.
At least clap and run.
That's selfish.
Yeah, there's a lot of joggers in the city. But I mean, like, yeah, at nighttime, when I go outside to smoke, it's really like a Saturday night looks like it's fucking Christmas Eve. Like everyone's just at home. Like no one's out on the streets. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's really creepy.
And if I had to take like any kind of an odd walk, I would, because also, and I said this before, this has really been big for the confidence of bums. I mean, bums are at high level confidence of aggression and just coming at you. It's nuts.
Can I tell you this? I don't want to take up all the time, but I've seen some amazing things. It's just like the street people, like taking it to the next level. Like you said, sir, guy doing crack in the middle of the day, not even like hidden away, like just basically on a door stoop doing some crack. Then I saw another woman doing bumps of blow off of her car hood. Now she did both and she put it back up. It was amazing. I was like, what's happening?
New York is, I'll tell you what's happening, Dave. New York is back, baby.
Did you see, did you guys all see like bars? I was saying to somebody, this is how quickly an open container law goes out the window. Like every bar in my neighborhood now has window service and people are just doing like outside bar crawls. Like just out a window, the cops don't care. You can just walk around and drink now. It just, you know. That stuff deteriorates quickly.
That's pretty great.
Can you like drink like just standing on the street in front of the bar, or you can walk around?
There are these signs that are like, we're not responsible if you don't take this home and you get in trouble, but it's up to you. And it's like, and everybody's just drinking outside. Like, I'm going to do one when I get home. I'm going to go on a bar crawl when I get home.
That's great.
Yeah.
As my young 20s, we used to just get the $2 wine from Trader Joe's and then put it in Starbucks cups and walk around. It's going to afford anything else.
You don't even need those Starbucks cups anymore. Save even more money.
Go, just let it rip.
Have you batted? I mean, does this make you miss drinking at all? Yeah.
Not really. I mean, you know what? I went, like a friend of mine lives in the neighborhood, so I went with them to the liquor store to see what's going on. And that's like an amazing, like, you know, I hate to say it. It seems like it's like they're handing out the liquor just to like stop the upheaval, you know, like people like, I got to get something. I got to go back home to my house with my kids and everything. So I figure like, that's like an important, that's a necessity right now is booze. But no, I don't, for me personally, no, but I am chain smoking and I know that's horrible. So I'm like more than usual. I know that.
How many packs a day are you going through?
I think I'm going through about 3 packs a day.
Is that why you added that Hunter S. Thompson filter to your cigarettes?
Yeah, I did. You know, in these times, Joe, you know, there's no need to slam another comic. Feel important and go right ahead.
He's right. We got to stick together in these trying times.
I'm sorry. You must be cooped up too to some degree here. DeRosa's going bananas. I mean, he wants pussy so bad, and I feel that he's all pent up.
Yo, how much porn? How much porn have you in? What do you think your porn intake is now?
I got to be honest, man. It's a lot like the Zoom shows. It's not gone. I would say it's almost gone down because it's the only option. I keep likening this aspect of like our social lives now to like, I understand now why old people get so mad about assisted living, because you're forcing them into a simulation of life and freedom. And that's what this feels like to me. So when porn's the only option, I'm just like, oh, fuck it, man. I don't fuck that. You know, like, I don't
care. Does that mean, because it's the only option, has that got you into like weirder shit? Like you,
I will say this. I will say this. When I sit down to do it, which is less frequently, I'm like, I need some real dark shit right now. Like I go dark.
I don't even know if you're watching like completely like asexual stuff, like egg stomping, and there's people stomping on eggs. And you're like,
it hasn't gotten that weird, but I will say, like, I've started like just my keyword searches on porn sites have gone to like just it's like word generator words. You know what I mean? Like party cum shots.
Frisbee gang.
I only watch one kind of porn, Asian porn, because I want answers. That's
you, my friend Pence. You're doing the real scientific work. You're trying to.
Sure. I don't know what you losers are doing.
Have you seen? There is hilarious. I love corn. They've already started making like quarantine.
Porn? Yeah.
Porn? Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's list is it? Quickly. Or you know those ads that come up before you watch any porn clip? You have to watch like 5 to 10 seconds of an ad and then hit skip ad. And it was always like some girl just like dildoing herself. And now it's like that, but she's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
That's genuinely a thing I've seen.
I will say one of my search words frequently has been ugly because there's something about like it makes me relate to the situation. Like, oh, we're trapped. Get over here, you ugly pig. You know, like that kind of thing.
Absolutely. That's hilarious. They're fucking in a quarantine room. Yeah, I've looked up ugly on porn before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious by it.
What about you, Dave? Has your porn intake gone up or down or stayed the same? Or
I think the porn and the Netflix, that's getting people through this. But I'm at the point now where it's just a lot of like muttering to myself, you know, a lot of like, you know, that kind of like Count of Monte Cristo kind of stuff, you know.
Are you just planning the fall of your enemies in years? I like it.
And putting it around my neck so I feel like I can fly or something. I don't know. I never thought this is a true thing. It's like, you know, the clubs are, you know, such a, like, I guess you could say not only what we do, but it's like your identity to some degree of like, you know, you need it every day to kind of like validate the day, you know, of like, oh, I got to do a set in an hour, so I got to do this, and I can't do this because I got to go out to the, you know, the airport and fly. So without any of that, and I'm not bitching and moaning because I know everybody's going through this, but without that, the days blur together, and that, you know, the sense of I guess purpose is very, you know, got to really try harder to like give yourself like, you know, I vacuum, dude, awesome, you did it. You
know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no, it's weird. And it was like right on the cusp of like starting to feel even burnt. How much travel I was doing? Though Dave's Dan, you also doing a bunch of traveling too at the time, where it's like the airports and airports and airports, and it was really like, man, I need a fucking break from this. And as soon as you get the break, you're like, the fuck are we doing here, man? It's supposed to be on an airplane. Yeah. Wednesday nights is when I go to bed and be like, you got to set an alarm because you're up at 4 a.m. to go to the airport.
I hope I get my timing back in terms of just like, I used to be able to operate on 3 hours sleep. Now I'm sleeping like, you know, basically like I'm, you know, it's like naps and then sleeps and then naps and all that kind of stuff. So I'm just trying to like, you know, do things. And it just seems like, oh, the bed's right there. I might as well take a nap. You know?
Yeah. Napping has been a pretty easy thing just to fall back into, where you're just like, hey, you know what? I got 30 minutes. So I'm going to go take a nap.
Never nap. We had this conversation before, but I'm not a napper at all.
I love napping.
I'm gonna get tired.
Oh, sorry, Joey.
Go ahead, Joey.
I was gonna say I love napping, and I'm in a weird space now because sometimes when I'm more depressed, it's easier to nap because you want to. It's tune out. But now I'm in a space where even when a depression nap kind of comes on, I'm like, well, let me go sleep for a little while. The anxiety keeps me awake. And I'm just like, I can't settle the fuck into anything.
Well, it's weird you say that because I've been waking up from naps with like anxiety. So like you nap and you feel good, you know, you get some sleep and you wake up and you're like, fuck.
I just think that mercifully, the days are going by pretty quick. It's weird. From wake up to it's dark outside, it feels like it's like moving a little bit, which is nice.
With that.
The consistency of having radio right now too is a huge help for all of us.
You guys, this is good. This is good for you guys. It really is.
And it definitely helps. Dave, did you see de Blasio break up that Hasidic funeral in Brooklyn last night?
Yeah. You know, all I'm going to say is, when the Hasids get together, it is a party.
Yeah, always party. Those guys know how to party even during a pandemic.
Man, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah, like you're not supposed to. There's been a couple of I guess you could say underground parties going on. I only read about it in the Post about somebody turned the car wash into a trance club or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say. I'm against it. As a member of the community, cut it out. That's all I'm gonna say.
I've been noticing people in the apartment complex I'm staying in, there's people are having parties in the garage. So there's 10 people.
Call them in, think them out.
There's just people drinking in the garage. And you're like, dude, what the fuck are you guys doing? I mean,
being in an apartment building like that, then Dave, maybe you too. Are you hearing fighting? I guess fucking or fighting, but I mean, I assume you'd hear like fighting for sure, whether it's roommates or couples, just getting sick of each other's face.
I hear a lot of people, just going there goes my 401k, people in my neighborhood have other houses. So they went out to the Hamptons or Connecticut or something like that. So it is pretty quiet here. But I was going to say, if you have, you're supposed to, the mayor wants you to call into 311. So what is your Fink voice? When you call it
that's a good question.
A guy not wearing his mask over at Fink Tank.
Dave, my impression would be, I can only describe it as Def Jam white guy. So I would probably call him and be like,
just to let you know, there are several people gathering outside right now on the block of 32nd and 2nd.
I see children in the
park. Lisp. Well, I... Super spreader.
Oh, dude, that's so funny. I'm
calling is Andy Kindler. I'm using the Fink calls to work on my impressions.
You know what? Yeah. Joe, that's actually really smart, because then you're getting conversationally astute.
I'll go, my neighbors are up to something. They go, is this Nathan Lane? I'm getting it. I'm getting it down.
I'm getting it. It's there. The lane is almost there.
I have a question for you guys. Jay, you and Christine love to go on a nice cruise. So when do you think you guys will do that?
I think my cruise days might be behind me.
Oh,
yes.
They're gonna do it again. I mean, they're gonna start probably in the fall. They're gonna start those up again. They have to, I guess.
Wow, man.
I don't know how long. The Spanish flu was 3 years before it was all said and done. But this can't be something that just makes people scared of each other forever. We have to be able to all get together in big groups and have fun again eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
I think in New York, especially since everyone lives such tight quarters that after a while, it's almost going to be undoable where people I got to get out. I got to stay out. The nicer it gets out, the more it's becoming really a will test of staying in, staying out, whatever they want you to do. But it's important to do the guidelines and everything like that. But once it hits full tilt summer, you're going to see some I think people are just going to go all wing it,
People are starting to get to that. It's funny, man. Even my most liberal friends, who in the beginning of all this were the harshest about the fucking Republicans and we've got to take this seriously. Even my most liberal friends now are being I've had it. I don't care. I'll just get sick. I don't fucking care. I want to go outside. People are just snapping, man.
What I liked what they did to add an extra level of danger to it was they let people out of the prisons, right?
Yeah.
It's turned into a real Batman-like town of just criminals walking the street, and then they should open the zoos.
I think everything you're saying
down the streets.
Just to watch a sex offender riding a fucking elephant that he found in Brooklyn.
You know, like what? in the middle of the night, you're walking down the street with your bags, and just like, you know, is a predator going to get me or a tiger? I don't know.
That's even better. To
a Puerto Rican with a face tattoo with a lion and tiger on a leash.
A 19-year-old fucking a 19-year-old gang member just having a lion on a chain leash, yeah. Just like, yo, watch out, yo, he's not good with people.
Yo, you want to fight? Yo, you want to fight our big cats later in my mom's backyard? You want to go to some big cat fights?
I would love to see an elephant rider in Manhattan.
I said this on yesterday's show, but I'm ready at this point to like. I mean, it's not going to happen because I say it, and I'm very afraid of getting it. But at the same time, I'm almost like, how about I'll just wear mask and gloves, and everybody else who wants to do that, and let's just go back to the world. And I'll just continue to wear mask and gloves till wear that shit until you're comfortable. Not, I guess.
You might have to do it on stage. Like once things do start, you might have to wear mask and gloves, and they'll probably have to put like in the delis. You know how like they put like that yes. That little thing that like I hope. You know, I don't know if he hasn't put that up overnight, but every one of them got it now where it's just like, you know, this little bit of cellophane that's going to protect him and you or whatever. So
guys, how's do that? If the audience is in masks, how's Lisa Lampanelli going to do her act ever again?
What's no, good? Now she's she life coaches now, Joe. She's left comedy. She's going to life coach, which, by the way.
She goes, come on, people. The black people are laughing. We can't tell, are they?
Life coaches, which is a job you can probably get. You could probably scam a lot of people out of dough on life coaching right now. Now's the time.
That's what she's doing now?
Yeah,
comedy to become a life coach. Yeah, you know, what she figured it out.
What was the event? I mean, conveniently, after a windfall of millions of dollars, when it became not okay to say chink anymore on stage, she was like, I'm going to be a life coach now. Well, I've changed my ways.
She had that stage meltdown that went pretty viral. And then shortly after that, she quit comedy and said she was going to be a life coach.
Yeah, she said she was sick of being mean. She wants to help people now.
A lot of people did
didn't
that.
Didn't she fill theaters as the queen of mean?
Yeah, she did.
I'm telling you, it was like right when everybody was starting to get canceled. All these people did this. Kathy Griffin did it. She was like, I'm not going to be mean anymore. Everybody did this.
Everybody loves a good redemption story, especially when the quote unquote crime and redemption both make you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty convenient.
Yeah.
She's not doing free life coaching.
Life coaching is just a way for people that have no schooling or credentials to do therapy. It's a crazy thing that exists in our world.
It's really funny, though, to think of some person out there who got their life together and they're like, who helped you? And they go, Lisa Lampanelli.
She's like, do you think you're more coaching? Is her coaching like, you know, the guy being like, I'm having problems in my life? And she's like, well, did you ever think about that you're a dirty spick?
Yeah. Did you ever think about the fact that you got a tiny little Pollock dick? You go, what?
Your people steal. Don't you think that might be the problem? Their Dennis Farina voice.
Yeah, Dennis Farina. I don't know. Maybe it's because you belong to Guatemalans. Guatemalans are known thieves, you fucking dumb prick.
Hey, that skull cap's got you blending in with the criminals, just got let loose.
I'm letting, it's almost time for the prayers.
This is funny. This does feel like we're talking to someone that's in a camp with the Taliban. And this is the first time he's been able to speak to us.
Sure. Do you think Zoom makes me look fat or am I just fat? I just don't know anymore.
You look great.
Are you going haywire eating?
Yeah, I feel like I started eating a lot of chocolate. And then I cut that out, and now, you know, it's mostly peanut butter. It was all the stuff that I bought to prep, the hoarding stuff, like that first week, where, like, what's going to be open? What's going to happen? Are we going to have to trade baby wipes for medicine? Stuff. I had to eat my way through it, just, you know.
Yeah, we did a panic shop coming home from the dentist in New Jersey the Thursday before they shut everything down, and it's just like, yeah, we ended up giving a bunch of that stuff away because it was just like, I mean, they're gonna keep groceries.
Sauce.
I bought fucking so many boxes of Ritz crackers, and Katie's like, why are you buying all these crackers? I'm like, I got defensive. I was like, I fucking love Ritz. And she's only been the only person in the place to eat it. She's it. I haven't ate one Ritz cracker the entire time.
You know, in the East Village, they got that all night supermarket. And I went there with Ari Shaffir like the week it started. Like, we were like at the cellar. We're like, let's go in there and get some supplies, you know? And, you know, like I knew what I was going to buy and all that kind of stuff. But everybody, it's East Village. So everybody in there was like, I don't know if they did or didn't tour with Lou Reed. It was like these older, hippie, weirdo anarchists. So it's like, I got to get some, you know, electrolyte water and some guitar strings. And I got to find the bonsai tree plant, you know, like weird things. But it was some stressful shopping, that's for sure.
It's funny. This
place is now closing at 8.
It is?
Yeah.
Wow. What happened to town?
See the
9 o'clock town.
You can see the, if you look at my fridge at home, you can see the panic shop that took place. It's like a Hungry Man dinner, a full pot roast, it's like a pepperoni. It makes no sense.
I've never taken more vitamins in my life, though. I am pissing what I can only describe as the fuel for the DeLorean that goes back to the future.
Toilet paper. What do you guys think? I've been doing enemas mostly.
Yeah, that's a smart way to go. Dave, that's smart. I'm thinking about taking the turkey baster and turning it into an enema.
Just going up there.
Don't move if you like yourself.
No, I need to feel this. I want to feel everything. It's been a while
since Shawshank and let it go in raw.
Yeah.
What I find works is I just let Rich Voss talk into my asshole, folks.
Yeah.
Have you bought? That's got it. Have you bought bulk of toilet paper and stuff, Dave? Do you have like?
I had to buy it all for my mom and everything. I was honestly, it was crazy, like the amount of, because there's people there around the clock, so I had to buy a bunch of stuff. And yeah, like I didn't want people to think that I was like, you know, hoarding or anything like that, but I had to buy towels and paper and like just all that old people stuff. Cases of Ensure, you know, those little drinks they drink.
Yeah, they love that shit, dude. Old people love Ensure.
I'll tell you what, dude. I tried my great grandmother's when I was younger. Tastes like a milkshake. It's not bad.
I'm almost jealous my grandma gets to eat that for sustenance.
Yeah. Okay, grandma, have a fucking nice thick vanilla milkshake for dinner.
Oh, your life sucks? You watch the invention of cell phones and you get to eat milkshakes all day. Shut up. I'll see you when this thing's over.
Doing it in home repairs. I tried doing that the first couple of weeks too.
Yeah.
That's so painful. Honestly, all those years in hotels have really destroyed any sense of taste that I have. I really, everything I think, I'm like, wait, that's a Ramada. Hold on. Wait a minute. I have no style, no taste.
A watercolor of crying clowns? Yeah.
Looking away? Sure. Why not?
Yeah, decorating is it's not a man's game usually. I think I would decorate pretty good if I had all my own choices. Christine's taking the ball on most of our decorating.
There was one week where I ran into Dave twice in a week in two home goods stores. We ran to each other at Home Depot and then CB2.
We were both on the same, we were like cycling, you know. Yeah.
Christine had such a hilarious white girl stress the other day. She broke a ramekin. You know what a ramekin is, Dan?
Yeah, of course.
It's a little saucer.
Like a sauce. What a ramekin is?
It's a little saucer to put sauce in, basically.
Oh no, I don't know what that is.
And Christine, first of all, Christine came in last week, clumsy as a motherfucker. I mean, breaking and dropping everything in her path. But she broke a ramekin, and the rest of the night she was like kind of bumming about it. And then when she finally expressed what her thing was, she goes, it's just, it sucks. I broke a ramekin. And like, it's like, I can't even walk over to Crate and Barrel and get a new one. Like, oh, I'm sorry, princess. Yeah. You can't walk over to Crate and Barrel, boo-boo? My bad.
No.
Or to that, I've been pretty zen about the whole quarantine. No, I actually haven't had anxiety and all that, but that popped up. Like, I really did get a thing where I was like, that was like my panic. I'm like, I can't just walk over to the store. Like, yeah. I can't just go in and grab one.
A ramekin mentally breaks you. That's what breaks you.
It's funny for that to be the thing. It's like the banks are closed. All the food stores are closing early now. Crate and Barrel, Dunsky.
She goes, I'm trying to go to Pier 1 Imports. I think they're shut down until 2021.
Please tell me Restoration Hardware has some kind of weekly hours. Do you have washer and dryer in your apartment, Dave?
Mm-hmm. That's the first place I've ever had that. It's sweet. You know, there's nothing better than just washing one pair of soiled undies. I got that going on. And I bought my mom a mini freezer to keep extra food in it. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. You know, like, it's like kind of kids that they have college, you know, for college kids. But there's nothing fun in that freezer. There's nothing fun at all in there. It's all sad things. Sad food, sad thoughts.
Soup she's going to come back to one day.
Yes. My mom, like when I had to buy all the soups for them, like all the different horrible flavors, they like, I'm like, how about like some lentils? They're like, oh no, that'll kill her. I'm like, what?
I visited my grandmother for the first time in her home before all this happened. And man, it is a bummer. Mm-hmm. It is a bummer situation in an old folks home. I mean, take away just the bummer of my own grandmother. Like when she lived by herself and her boyfriend lived across the street and everything, like she could choose her friends to hang out with. You can see everyone she's friends with is just people that she's happened to have conversations with in the hallway. And then besides that, you walk through and it's like a goddamn Clive Barker movie. There's just laughing old people in a room at looking the wrong way at a television. The television's over there. They're laughing and looking forward.
Oh, dude.
They all say hello to you a bunch of times.
One woman was sitting there and she goes, oh, she doesn't know who she is.
Yeah. Ellie doesn't know who she is. And you're like, man, why is she wearing that Apple hat? And someone just stuffs it on her head so she looks like normal, I guess.
If you actually think about it, it's a smart way to play. If you get to a certain age and you just want people to leave you alone, you just start like talking to the wall. Then they put you in one of those homes and you're like, yeah, but I'm left alone. Pretty much no one gets in my shit.
Well, if you have full mental capacity and you're just looking for a nursing home's not a bad way to play it. And then at nighttime, you just fucking run out, hop in your car and go fucking cruise the streets. Today you just sit in and watch Gold. My grandmother is old and in complete fear of even attempting technology on any level. So her TV does not leave TV land all day. And the volume doesn't change at all. Mm-hmm. Any point of the day. It's very, very bizarre. And she just turns the TV on and off. And when it's on, it's the sitcoms of TV land. Because it's like Golden Girls and all that shit she'll want to watch. Yeah. And then she just goes to bed and turns the TV off. But it's never, there's no like oh, mom, watch this show. She's in prison.
It's like a torture, that loud Wheel of Fortune coming at you all the time.
In Gitmo, they called it getting sajacked. they would sajack Taliban people.
That's how they flushed out Noriega, right?
Yeah, they go, where is it? Where is the weapon depository? He goes, okay, yeah, can I have an R? Okay, and he goes, oh, what else? He goes, I'd like to buy a vowel. The strike will be on Ramadan. That's when the strike will happen.
Well, it's funny because you try to give her so many things like, oh, mom, there's a great show on Netflix. All you got to do is push this button. It says the word Netflix. And she's like, I don't know. I'm lost.
Jay, I have the nervous every time my grandmother calls me, because I mostly call her and she calls me. And so sometimes I'll be like, that was when we were doing before we were all split up. She called me and I was like, dude, she never calls me. She left a message where she was like, I need to talk to you when you get a chance. And I called her back and it was just because the TV went from HDMI 1 to regular TV and she was spinning. Oh, yeah, she was like, she's like, I don't know how to get to back to
I'm tangled up in the cords. I can't get out.
I think I see your grandfather. I'm like, no, that's impossible.
Mom does that. She has like every voicemail tone is tragedy. She'll be like, Joe, it's mom. Can you please call me back when you get a minute? And I call her back. I go, what's wrong? She's like, are you doing shows in Denver in October? Because Nancy wants to go. I'm like, you fucking asshole.
Have you guys been to like fast food or anything like that? Drive-thrus or any of that stuff?
Did a drive-thru.
I've ordered Taco Bell a bunch.
Really?
KFC to get some treats for the my mom and all those guys. And like, you know, I tip them because, you know, they're basically heroes, you know, doing this job. And I give them a tip at the window of KFC. I go, you know, you keep the change. And they glared at me through their mask like, what the? I wanted to go, you don't know who I am. I'm Elon Musk. I'm the third richest man in the world.
When you guys get takeout, for Dan and Dave, yeah. do you wipe down, like, do you take it all out and wipe down the wrappers? What do you do?
I wipe down the bag.
The paper the tacos are in, for instance. You don't worry about it?
You know.
Dave, what do you do with, like, a bucket of KFC?
Like a crime scene. I put on a trench coat. I walk around smoking, going, how did this happen?
I'm under your nose.
Oh, what a horrible day to have a cold. Look at this. No, I was wiping it down until they said that you don't have to wipe it down. You know, that they said that now. That you don't have to wipe it down anymore.
All right.
It's a different thing.
Travel and food.
Me and Christine drove through a Burger King and got two sandwiches. And the whole idea was like, let's eat this like on the way home. Was coming back from Long Island, like, we'll eat this on the way home and then we'll have like dinner later, but we were both hungry and we got it and then we're just like, I don't want to touch that bag. And we just left it in the back seat until we got home and wiped it all down. It was like, I know it's ridiculous, but
we take it out and then microwave the food for 20 seconds generally. So we take everything out, throw the food in the microwave, and then just like get rid of the bag like it's toxic waste.
Are you ordering out dinner pretty much every night, Dave?
No, I'm too lazy to order out. Like, I went out and got some food and, you know, that kind of thing. But I was thinking it would be really funny if you have like if you were really rich, you know, like you were like in LA or something like that, that you hire a taster, like somebody to taste it and see if they're okay.
Yeah, dude, we're getting back to Renaissance style where they're like, oh, taster, make sure this Taco Bell is good for me.
You feel, and then you have to list off the 18 symptoms, you know? You're lightheaded, or blah, 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 blah. So
we've been up in this house in the Catskills for, we're here for a couple more days.
Oh, is that where you are? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we went for like, we went for 2 weeks, and we're coming back Sunday. And, yeah, we were just like cooped up in like,
much, yeah.
Just like the apartments are just so small. So we got out for 2 weeks. And we're coming back, but I weirdly am looking forward to like ordering out like a bunch of nights in a row. Like, yeah.
I was just going to say, me too, because I wasn't doing it because I was so terrified of touching anything. And now I've talked to, including today, at least, yeah, exactly, at least 10 people that have said, I don't wipe it. I just get the food and I eat it. I'm going to order out like crazy when I get home. I can't wait. I can't wait to get KFC again, dude. Burger King, all that shit.
I'm telling you, it's the only thing open, and it's like, it really just shows you're like, in New York, where the one thing that you could always guarantee was like a cup of coffee, that became difficult, like getting just a cup of coffee during the day. And it'd be like, the one place that would do it would be like this kind of like, they used to sell shoes, but they brought their coffee pot from home. They want to stay open. You can't blame them, but it's like, definitely somebody's like, you know, like, I don't know, I just got hired on Craigslist or whatever, and I'm going to make coffee here until I, you know, whatever. So it's really, that's the one thing that really shocks me about New York. It's like, it's difficult to get a cup of coffee here, you know?
Yeah.
It's what we looked at. There's a Starbucks by us. They all close except one that delivers.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Uber Eats. We've been ordering Starbucks. I actually order chais with no ice and keep them in the fridge.
Yeah, just order for every like a week. No. Oh, no. This is back in the city.
What? I can't believe that.
If you look on, if you have those apps, I bet you on Uber Eats, you could order Starbucks for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, they've really figured that out because they have to. And then it's funny just watching the places that were open that just go down. They were open for delivery, and then they're just like, yep, yeah, well, we did as long as we could. It's a wrap.
Dude, there was this Thai place that we were ordering from, like, the first week of quarantine. We're like, great, pad Thai iced teas. And then, like, 2 weeks later, it's like, and it's gone.
Dude, how about the places that were, like, they kept going, like, Chinese food places are going to go down. I'm like, I don't know. I had full trust in Chinese places. I'm like, it's too on the nose. Like, if anyone's going to be that obviously, like, make sure that no one there is working sick, it would be Chinese food. They don't want any more blame the cat.
It opens up in the Chinatown.
They have the cleanliness. Dude, Chinese food, Chinese restaurants now have the cleanliness of a Mayo Clinic. They're like, you're not. We can't let any of this out.
Tell you why I think a lot of the Chinese places closed down, because by what I've seen in the East Village, at least, if it's any indication, crazy homeless are walking into them like every day and just cursing them out for killing everybody. Like, there's going in there and be like, you motherfucking Chinese, it doesn't matter if it's a Vietnamese place or not, you Chinese motherfuckers fucking up all this shit, and just losing their minds. And I think there's I think they're just getting like terrified and just like shutting down, I think, from like the backlash. Because it's one of the only, it's the hardest, like fast food to get right now in the city.
It's the suppliers, because the suppliers were shut down. So a lot of, there was a whole article on like why you can't get Chinese food in New York right now.
Is that really what it is?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, a lot of their, their supplier streams got hit.
But they're like, this bag we were telling people was
shipping for a while, right? Come on.
Come on, everyone. Yeah.
They're like, the supplier's running short on the bat we were telling people was spare ribs.
Now we're cut. That wet market is in fucking trouble.
Yeah, that is fucking, but I'm actually looking forward to coming back to some New York City takeout food.
Hey, while you're upstate, can you pick us a big bushel of apples?
You know what? I'm going to hark off Dave here and say, I would like some plums if you have them.
At a distance, though, of course.
Of course.
This trip, and simply by the place we're in and looking across the street at the one house you can see here, it just shows you why Trump is going to win the election. It's how jaded we are in New York to not understanding why he would win again, because we are only 2 hours away from the city, and the guy across the street, his house is emblazoned with a giant poster for Trump 2020.
By the way, Jay, his Trump flag only being rivaled by his for sale sign on the house. He won't even take it down to sell the house more easily. It's like,
that's crazy. Yeah, the realtor's like, I just feel like if you took it down, the house would get off the market sooner. He goes, no way. I ain't letting a libtard live in my old house.
I don't want no liberal sissy ninny moving into my mama's neighborhood.
Did they give you any stuff from being like downstate coming upstate? Because that's the big thing. The New Yorkers went out to the Hamptons. They went upstate, and everybody was like, "We don't want any of your kind around here."
Yeah, we were looking in the Poconos, to go to the Poconos, and at that time they were like, "No, they're like, we're not even like Airbnb-ing to people right now. They're shutting that off." So, yeah, but no, this place was available. It was great for what it was. There's like one supermarket in town, a CVS, and then everything else is mom and pop.
Saw a nice waterfall today.
It's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get the fuck out of Dodge. 2 weeks may have been a bit of a, I mean, it doesn't matter. You're coming home to the same thing, but 2 weeks may have been a lot. But in hindsight, but I mean, like, it's definitely been good to like breathe, because especially, you know, where you live too, Dave and Joe and me and even Dan, where he's at, like, you walk outside and you just feel like, I am in the thick of it. You're like, I might as well be in a pool that they say there's coronavirus in. You know what I mean? You just go outside and you're like, fuck. Every move I make, I'm just at risk somehow.
I went to like the Hotel Rwanda of it. I went to the post office. And like, I had to mail something out. And I was like, this is it. I called up my sister. I go, I think this is it. I'm going into the post office. So if something happens to me, you know, you're going to have to take the mom duties off of my plate. And I went in there and I was like, you know, wearing like full tilt garb. So it was like that movie, Pandemic, you know, like,
yeah. It also kept moving.
You know, I'm like, where are the stamps and the envelopes? And, you know, and I think this guy just with his dog in there, that was like the only other customer. And, and everybody who worked there was not wearing any masks. I'm like, what the heck? What's going on here? You know, like,
fucking nuts.
What are just people aren't wearing masks? Pharmacists, I've seen that wearing masks or gloves.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we had a guy on SDR show we interviewed last night named Tommy Vexed from a band called Bad Wolves, I guess. And at the end of the show, when we were wrapping it up, he went on a real serious rant about coronavirus and how the overhype and blah, blah, blah of it, like, which was fine, whatever. But one of them, he said, I said the thing I said before. I'm like, I don't know. It's like this, when everything opens up, like, I'm probably just going to wear gloves and a mask until I feel like, it's not scary anymore. Like, whatever, that's fine. I love my life. He goes, bro, this guy has face tattoos. He goes, bro, mask and gloves does nothing. Zero. Zero for it. And I just like this. I don't like people who talk in those definites of that.
Yeah. Seriously, nothing.
It's like it's only 35% like help or something like that. He just goes, it doesn't do anything. He goes, really? Gloves and mask? So why is, then what's surgery then? Like, what is the, it makes sense of any use of mask and gloves, then what's the point at all?
Why are they even available?
He goes, dude, they don't do nothing. He goes, I mean, they certainly do something. Of course they do. It's just an insane thing to say.
Has to. Washing your hands long enough, that's another thing.
I've been doing the full wash.
That was the beauty of coming up here, is that with no exaggeration, my hands have come back to life over the last week and a half. They were gnarly looking a couple weeks ago.
That means you're doing your job. How are your feet? Have you been washing your feet?
Yeah, you've been going out there touching everything.
You know, in the sandal culture, you know, they really
can't overlook that. Well, Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate you zooming in, or whatever the hell you call this.
That was a fast hour.
Yeah.
Like this seems like when you do like an audition over the phone, you know.
Hey, that was wonderful. Is he out? Okay, we're going to go a different direction, right, Joe?
Here, would you mind reading for another part? I have another part I think you'd be good for.
Yeah, but Dave,
guys, it's great that you did this, and it really cheered me up, and I hope we did the same for the fans. And you know, I don't know what's gonna happen, but let's face it, you know, the fact that you guys keep pumping out material and content, that's great. You know, people need something to lighten the load, so let me be a part of it.
And Dave, I'm telling you, when we get back, if you're genuinely open to that, I would definitely be open to finding some place to just sit and bullshit 6 feet apart from each other.
Absolutely. You can go to the Cake Shack.
Yeah, fucking get it done.
Absolutely. I'd love to see you, man. I absolutely would. So yeah, let's try to work that out when we get back. Everybody, Dave Attell, thank you so much.
See you, buddy.
Joe, be good. Joe, you come too, man, please.
Yeah, no, totally. We did that before the pandemic. Remember we used to meet at Dunkin' Donuts and just stand outside before there were coffee shops? You could sit in, we would just stand outside with coffee. Let's do it.
my favorite diner is closed too. Like all my favorite places. They're not even for delivery. Sarge's closed.
Did Sarge's close?
Sarge's.
Yeah, no, it's not open now.
Oh, wow.
If we go out to Pastrami King, we'll have to bring you back some from Long Island.
I went out there. I just went out there to get stuff for my mom again. Yeah, it was great. I went out there.
Oh, good.
Pastrami King is rolling like there's nothing going on.
Katz's is fucking pumping it out.
Oh, man, maybe I'll get a little Pastrami King on Saturday.
Get nuts, dude.
Sunday when we go home. Ooh-wee. Dave, thank you so much. And we'll catch you guys.
We're not Wohops, but we'll dress as superheroes.
Oh. We're here for Wohop himself. We'll catch everybody next time on The Bonfire. Crackle, crackle.
Bye, guys.